Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, flying solo. It's Friday, midday, and it was announced not too long ago that the Golden State Warriors have decided not to sign Dwight Howard to the roster. Boo hoo. It is not a big deal. I mean, I've talked forever about how I'm not a Dwight Howard fan. Vubang last week convinced me that, you know, at least it would be fun. And it would have been interesting to me to see just him in the mix with all the vets and to see if he could, you know, play in the system, just having a dude who's that big and strong, even though he's old, on the roster might have been all right because the Warriors are always outsized and whatnot. But I think some people out there, not everybody, but some people were a little confused as to what kind of Dwight Howard is available. This is not prime Dwight Howard. This is old Dwight Howard, who has never really been a Warriors-type player and technically is still not a Warriors-type player because they did not sign him. He worked out with Draymond, Chris Paul, DeMar DeRozan, a couple other folks, I think probably in L.A. That's where everybody works out. And it seemed like it went well, right? Like the vets were, they gave their sign-off, supposedly. But he met with Steve Kerr, he met with Dunleavy, and I don't have any inside information on those meetings, but they decided not to move forward with it. And it might not be this huge indictment of Dwight Howard. It might just be that, hey, you know what? If you follow the Warriors roster decisions the last few seasons, actually, they leave that 15th spot open. And they look like they're going to go into camp with that spot open. And throughout the season, they leave that open. We've seen it where it's like they leave it open to see if there's somebody they could sign or trade for or pick up off of the buyout market in the second half of the season. So that flexibility is something that the Warriors, it's just what they kind of do. So I'm a little surprised because I felt like if the vets, all of them kind of bought into this idea of having Dwight Howard, that it might happen. But so far, you know, under the Mike Dunleavy regime, I ain't got too many complaints. He's done some things that I had hoped, like moving Jordan Poole. I want to see what he does as the season goes, right? He's never been GM during the actual season. So I trust his instincts on this. And, you know, I trust the front office to some extent so far. So, you know, it is what it is. There's other dudes, I'm sure, that maybe the Warriors could bring in that they've talked to, but none of them are super exciting. But what do you expect from trying to fill an end of the bench spot? Like Dwight Howard, if he was going to be on this team, he would be at the end of the bench in spot minutes, not playing for long, long stretches. You know what I mean? Because he would not be in the rotation, right? He would not be in the rotation. He would be a matchup guy if the Warriors were playing somebody that was, you know, a seven-footer that they needed six fouls on, that they needed to body up, bruise up a little bit. He is not a stretch big by any stretch of the imagination. And if you think about the Warriors roster, current roster, their bigs are Draymond, Looney, Saric, and the rookie, Trayce Jackson-Davis. So to me, there's no way that Dwight is getting in front of those three veteran dudes. And honestly, what I'm hoping for from Trayce Jackson-Davis is, because he was a four-year college player, that hopefully, you know, Steve Kerr can trust him, give him some run early, and that maybe by the second half of the season, he could go out there for 10 minutes and not screw up. You know what I mean? Over the past few years, the Warriors have had really, really young rookies, you know, guys who barely played in college or didn't play in college. And they didn't earn Steve Kerr's trust right away. So if you're going to draft a four-year dude, hopefully he can get out there and do the things that you need. The Warriors, in terms of their bigs, are still really short, but we've seen that kind of be the way the Warriors have functioned the last couple of years. It worked in 1 year when they won the title. Didn't work last season, but we all know last season was just a combination of issues, whether it be Draymond punching Poole, roster construction, bad vibes, Clay not playing in the summer, whatever. You know what I mean? So that is kind of just the special aberration. You just have to put in its own little box and be like, whoa, that was one stupid season, right? So this coming season, I always felt that they would probably leave a spot open and then see how the season went. And by mid-season, by January, and then the All-Star break in February, see where they're at and then make moves accordingly, right? See how this Chris Paul stuff works out. See how the rookies look. See how the third-year guys, Kuminga and Moody, are functioning out there. And then you can make your move. Right now, the Warriors have some bigs, but they don't have like that bruiser big. They've survived like that before. So I think a question is also like seeing how Looney, how Draymond, how they hold up, how Saric holds up, how he functions in the offense. And again, how Trayce Jackson-Davis, if he's able to pick up the NBA game and stay with guys on defense and not be a big zero on offense. I don't think he will be. I don't think he's necessarily going to score a ton, but he is a lob threat and he can pass. You know, he's not a great shooter, but, you know, the Warriors have enough guys who can shoot for now. So no Dwight Howard. Who knows what team, if a team will take a flyer on him. It seems like this Dwight Howard to the Warriors thing is some much talked about fantasy that started when the Warriors try to get him. But instead, Howard went to the Rockets and the Warriors, they took Andre Iguodala several years ago. Then there's also the last couple of years where everybody's like, sign Dwight Howard, right? This is not Dwight Howard from even 5 years ago. And again, I'm not a Dwight Howard fan. I think he's kind of goofy. I don't think he would fit in how this all works out, but I would have definitely tuned in just to see how long he would have lasted and see if there would have been any kind of fireworks at all. Maybe down the road, maybe he's still around. Maybe he goes back to Taiwan. Maybe the Warriors think about calling him over in the middle of the season. But as of now, your Dwight Howard fantasies must be put on hold. Are you a Warriors fan who's also a San Francisco Giants fan like me? Then this message is for you. What will the Giants do at the trade deadline? Can they make a deep postseason run? Could Patrick Bailey be the next Buster Posey? These are the questions that keep Brian Murphy and Doug Bruzzoni awake at night, and twice a week, they voice their thoughts on these matters and more as hosts of Giants Croncast, the San Francisco Giants podcast on Fans First Sports Network. Brian and Doug are bloggers who've been on the Giants beat for a decade, and every Monday and Thursday, they assess the state of the roster, the thinking behind the front office's decisions, and the quality of the farm system. It's a comprehensive look at the orange and black. Giants Croncast, the first, best, and only podcast you'll need about the San Francisco Giants, right here on Fans First Sports Network and available wherever you get your podcasts. One thing I wanted to talk about also was, I think last week or a couple weeks ago, Dame Lillard, I forgot that the guy had a trade request and he still hasn't been traded. I have no idea what the plan is in Portland, what they're trying to do, how things are going. I haven't read any Portland or news or watched any news about that. But, you know, it was put out that he would not want to play in the Bay Area for the Warriors. And it is still the slow time of the offseason. And, you know, it became a headline. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I think it was people knew it was kind of just fluff. It didn't mean anything. But most star players don't want to play in their hometowns. You know what I mean? It's like they don't want to go back to that. early in their careers, they don't want to do it because you kind of want to go somewhere else. You want to experience other things. And I think for Dame at this point in his career, though, like, why would he want to come to the Warriors? Oakland's finest. He'd be coming back to his home area, and he would be at best second banana to Steph. And he's Portland's best player of all time in terms of just ability, skill, impact, length of his career. Yes, you can make arguments for guys who were there that helped him win a title, like Bill Walton and whatnot, and Clyde Drexler, who didn't win a title, but was just, you know, a long time all-star, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's Dame, and to come back to the Bay and be that like second guy more in later end of your career, I just don't see that being something. And obviously, this is moot because way back when he said he wanted to go to Miami. So if he wanted to come to the Bay, he would have said it and blah, 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 blah. You know, but time and time again, you know, like I remember back in the day when Jason Kidd was a young player and it was like, let's get him back to Oakland. Let's get him back and whatnot. Because whenever he would come to the Bay, he would just smoke the Warriors. The Warriors are terrible back then, right? The mid to late 90s, early 90s or early 2000s. But that was something that it just never felt like was ever, ever going to happen. Guys just, you know, want to build their legacies elsewhere, live life elsewhere and whatnot. So I don't know if people cared that Dame said that, but to me, it's like, yeah, of course. Of course. I just don't think it's anything close to reality. You know, like I was doing this live stream for Bleacher Report back in June, right? They hit me up to do this live stream. But the topic was, should the Warriors trade for Dame? And it was like, I was supposed to talk in a half hour about that. And I think I went about 20 minutes because honestly, like that's a topic to me that it's like a 2-minute topic, right? You could look at the roster and just be like, oh, that's a terrible idea. They'd be too small in the backcourt. They'd be older. Who would you have to give up to get him in terms of salary? And then just having so much salary in him and Steph and how they are duplicative of each other. Like that's obvious that you don't really want that. You want to find pieces that fit together. So, you know, that is old news, but the offseason's slow. So that is that. Andre Iguodala was on the Old Man and the Three podcast with JJ Redick. And, you know, he talked about how he doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer. And I think I would agree. I know that the bar for the NBA's Hall of Fame is a little bit lower than maybe, say, baseball's. But, you know, like earlier on before at the start of the dynasty, I thought maybe he could be a Hall of Famer. But just like I think with recency bias taken into account, then you just look at the totality of his career. Like he was a great player. If you don't remember Andre Iguodala, and even if you do remember Andre Iguodala, his athleticism when he was with Philly playing with Allen Iverson to the two AIs, then you should go back and watch some Andre Iguodala highlights because the dude was insane. His athleticism was just through the roof. And he was just obviously a very smart, heady player in terms of his credentials to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, maybe down the road, but, you know, like one Olympic gold medal, I think, maybe one All-Star game, finals MVP. But, you know, ever since the Warriors lost that year to the Raptors in the finals, and then Andre got traded, and then he was kind of role player, end of bench role player for the Heat. Well, I wouldn't say end of bench, but like, you know, his role was diminished compared to his role with the Warriors. And then come back to the Warriors, he got another title. So he has four, just like Steph, Dre, and Clay. But I mean, we all know that that fourth one he got, as much as I love Andre, like he was not playing very much throughout the season and very little in the playoffs, and then this past season. So, you know, I think I would have to agree with him just based on the overall picture. I'm assuming he's retiring, and I'm sure he'll announce that on his Point Forward podcast. But I think if that announcement is just that he's retiring, that's, you know, okay. Yeah. Expected it, right? I don't think the Warriors are going to bring him back. I don't think any other team in the NBA really would bring him back. I think his value to the Warriors is higher than any other team in the league at this point. And another team would need him to play, right? Not just be that coach, the culture guy, right? That Steve Kerr connection from the coach to the bench, right? That go between. No other team really needs that. So I think he's going to retire. And if there's an announcement on his show, the big twist would be if, you know, he, I don't know, joins the front office or the coaching staff or some other next phase in his career type thing. I'm not saying he's doing that. I have no idea. But, you know, it'll be weird to know that he's retired. I know that there were some years without him on the Warriors roster, but those were the lost years, right? It was just weird seeing guys like Brad Wanamaker and Kelly Oubre on the roster. So, you know, if the Warriors are in the playoffs and even just not having Andre on the bench, it will be a strange thing indeed. So looking at this Warriors roster, what do we got? All right. So we got Steph, Clay, Wiggs, Draymond, Looney, right? That's your starting five, in my opinion. I don't think you're bringing Chris Paul into that starting five, at least not right away. Then you have Chris Paul, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, Dario Saric, and then Gary Payton II. That's 10 dudes. And then you got Corey Joseph, Trace Jackson Davis, and Pods. I'll just call him Pods. I'm still bad at pronouncing his last name. The rookie dude out of Santa Clara. And then you add, of course, Lester Quinones and Usman Garuba, who the Warriors signed last week, as two-way guys. And remember, now you get three two-ways instead of just two. So, you know, the Warriors have some wiggle room here and there to try to fill the roster out in training camp. I like this roster. I've said it before. I'm not going to go too deep into, like, where I think they're going to land just yet. I said last week that I think, if healthy, they're three or four, depending on how healthy the Suns are, just in terms of like how good their roster is in the West. But looking at this, I mean, yeah, you could use some size, but the question is, like, do you need more wings, right? Because Andrew Wiggins, classic wing, athletic, can shoot it a little bit now and can defend. Arguably, you know, you can start playing Klay Thompson more as a three. He doesn't have the quicks, of course, but, you know, that's another wing. But then you also have to look at Kuminga and Moses Moody, right? Kuminga, we know that Kerr plays him bigger, like a power forward. He has the potential to be a wing. He just doesn't yet have the handle or the maybe the decision-making just yet, but that's something to keep an eye on. And then Moses Moody, a little bit slower-footed, kind of a two-guard slash wing. So are the Warriors thin at wing? It depends. It depends on how the two young guys develop. And I know that X factors, everybody talks to X factors, like, yeah, those two dudes are a big deal. And I find it fascinating, right? Because, like, everybody wants to put Jonathan Kuminga in, you know, he hasn't broken through yet, but maybe if he does, he'll be able to help, or maybe they could trade him. Man, back in 2021, after the draft, I said that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be the Warriors' best player in a few years, right? And, you know, it depends. It depends on what the roster looks like. It depends on how Steph ages and whatnot. But, you know, there's all this chatter that, like, he hasn't cracked the rotation, etc. And he's good enough. Let's face it, he's good enough. His shooting, his three-point shooting was way better towards the end of last season. And the only reason he didn't play was because Gary Payton came back from injury. And Andrew Wiggins came back from his family absence. You know what I mean? So, like, Kerr is obviously going to play those guys more first ahead of Kuminga. But now, let's see. Let's see. So, thankfully, the slow offseason is almost over, and the preseason is just around the corner. Media day I believe is on Monday, October 2nd. And training camp starts the day after. So the stories get really deep and we get to see some of these guys play, some of the new guys, some of the young guys, see what happens when everyone works out. And yeah, get some real like basketball going on. So looking forward to that. We'll have some episodes talking about all that jazz and whatever comes out that people find interesting to talk about and want to hear about. So that's it. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.